This episode is brought to you by the Hopeful Neighborhood Project, in partnership with Community Development, a program under MU Extension's Business and Communities. Welcome to Show Me Mo Success, where we explore how people turn passion into action in order to make a difference, and how MU Extension's Business and Communities program gave them a little assist along the way. I'm Mike Quinata, Assistant Director for Business and Communities, subbing in for your host, Luke Dieterle, who is out on assignment. On today's show, St. Louis resident Greg Smith, who, along with his wife Suzanne, received the Good Neighbor Award for 2023. Greg is a longtime trustee for the Neighborhood Homeowners Association. He and his wife Suzanne have put up 100,000 Christmas lights every year during the holiday season, as well as caring for community property adjacent to their house. We will also talk to David Burton, Community Development Specialist for MU Extension, who championed the Engage Neighbor Principles in his own neighborhood, for his own city, and then for the state of Missouri, as Engage Neighbor Week was signed into Missouri law by Governor Parsons in 2022. Greg, thank you for being an engaged neighbor and for your consistent acts of neighborliness over the years. So what was it about your neighborhood that kind of started you down this path? And why did you start to become involved? Or was that something that happened organically for you and your wife, Suzanne?
Well, we were in quite a bit different place in our lives then, right? We were expecting our first child. You know, I think we moved in, well, I guess it's almost 27 years ago now. I'm not sure we knew anything about the subdivision, honestly. We were looking in the area, found a house. Yeah, had a good yard. You know, like anything, I think, start to get involved. Somewhere along the way, I got recruited to be a trustee. That was probably 21, 22 years ago. I think like most subdivision trustee associations, it wasn't something I had to run for election for. It was something they needed somebody to do, right? I've just stayed a trustee since then. I mean, part of it is from our background perspective. If you look at, I grew up, my father, you know, was someone who grew up on a farm. His world is, you had a skill to do something and someone needed that skill, you did it. That was just kind of the expectation that probably both of us were brought up with. I don't mind, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that trustee position must be horrible. Yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah, it's got its moments like anything, but it's more good than bad. I think most people generally have best interests at heart. So, you know, it's one of those, if somebody stepped up and had a lot of passion for it and a lot of ideas and wanted to do it tomorrow, I would be fine with it. If I kept doing it, I would be fine with that as well. But even if I wasn't a trustee or something like that, I think we would still be pretty heavily involved.
Yeah, Greg, you hit on a couple of the engaged neighbor principles found within the Engaged Neighbor Pledge, for which you guys won the 2023 award in developing trust, finding mutual benefit. And I know from serving on our own HOA board a few times, those are key in developing open communication and doing what's best for your neighborhood. I believe another aspect of your Engaged Neighbor Award was your willingness over the years to put up a holiday light display that started from just your house, I believe, and then kind of went from there. Tell me about that a little behind the scenes, as they say.
Well, boy, where should we start on that? That started innocent enough, you know, to kind of give you the background. Subdivision retention pond, we back up to the common ground that's in. The area is about 6 acres of common ground, 3 acres of which are that pond. And just when the kids were little, one day, you know, we would put lights up around our house just like everybody else. You know, next thing you know, could I put lights on that tree on the other side of the fence? You get to there and you say, well, I could get to that next tree and the next tree. And, you know, fast forward 3 years, we're up over 100 and something trees and probably close to 100,000 light. You know, I look back kind of laughing, but I travel a lot on business. I remember in the very early days, Suzanne would put the kids to bed and take a shower, try to be drying her hair. And I'd get the call on the road that Christmas lights combined with the hair dryer, you know, knocked all the power out to the circuits. So, you know, next thing you know, I got electricians coming in, bringing dedicated circuits and things like that. You know, I will say it feels like a little bit of a heavy lift at times because start putting them up typically the weekend after Halloween with the goal of getting it ready by Thanksgiving. there's over a mile of extension cords. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there, you know what I mean? And it kind of just took a life on its own. There's days, honestly, when you're taking them down in January where you say to yourself, you know, has this run its course? Do we really need to do this again? And almost always when you got that thought in your mind, you've got somebody that comes up and says, oh, you know, my aunt comes over to our house every Thanksgiving because she wants to see those lights. You know, at the end of the day, that's really what you're looking for, is bringing a little bit of, you know, brightness to someone's holiday life. Invariably, you get a lot of people asking, you know, how many lights there are and how much all of that stuff cost. And I always tell them, I'm like, don't think about that stuff because it ruins the holiday spirit, because, you know, you look back and you think it's evolved over the years, that it's gotten, you know, it's kind of taken on a life of its own. But, you know, it's still fun. We're going to still do it as long as we can. People enjoy it, you know, and it spawns additional events. We have the local fire department, you know, is bringing Santa to the neighborhood around the lights by the pond. So it spawns other events, brings additional people in. We're very careful. We keep that separate from, you know, my role as a trustee. That's something we self-fund. I don't feel like that's something the neighborhood should be using the assessments and stuff like that for. So, you know, we make it very clear, like, hey, this is something that the subdivision isn't paying for, because, you know, every once in a while you hear somebody say, hey, you know, is this a wise use of our funds? And I get to say, well, you know, good thing is it has nothing to do with subdivision funds and stuff like that. So it's something, you know, we get people we don't even know ask where we live, and we tell them, they're like, oh, that's that area where that one subdivision does all the lights around the pond. And I'm like, yeah, that's us and things like that. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that intentionality, developing trust, connecting with your neighbors, these are all tenets of the Engaged Neighbor Pledge, for which you and your wife, Suzanne, were nominated as an Engaged Neighbor for 2023. Now I'd like to bring on David Burton, the Community Development Specialist who champions the Engaged Neighbor Week and works with others to promote and facilitate the Engaged Neighbor Award process. David, welcome to the program, and tell us a little bit about the Engaged Neighbor Awards and how they came about.
Good Neighbor Week is actually signed by Governor Parsons a couple of years ago. We celebrate in Missouri for a whole week, not just on National Good Neighbor Day. Missouri Good Neighbor Week runs September 28th to October 4th. And one of the things you can do during that week is nominate someone you know to be recognized as Missouri's most engaged neighbor. And we recognize every person's nominee. We send them a memento and a letter letting them know they've been nominated. We had 62 nominations this year from across the state, but we'd like to gather more of those, and think we would if people had a little more time to do those nominations. We don't ask a lot of the nominations, but we ask people to tell a story about who they're nominating and explain how that nominee has gone the extra mile for their neighbors or neighborhood. And we ask that those Engaged Neighbor nominations focus on someone who has done positive types of things in the neighborhood, someone who really participates in neighborhood activities and makes sure others feel included as well, and someone who devotes their time and talent toward the neighborhood. And I think you can tell from the conversation today how the Smiths were one of those families that was selected this year. What a great example they are. We see from their nominator had written that the Smiths have really big hearts, and that they're often doing acts for people in the neighborhood with total anonymity. And I know Greg mentioned that he serves as a trustee, and he's done that for a long time. And his nominator really focused in on that part, saying that they have been tireless in taking care of the neighborhood, tireless in taking on tasks that are sometimes laborious or unpleasant. They clean the debris from the overflow gates of their community lake, that Greg brings diplomacy and wisdom and care to his role, and is really appreciated for his careful stewardship of the community's resources. What high accolades. And one of the reasons this really caught the committee's attention is one of our principles of the Engaged Neighbor Pledge, or what we sometimes call the Engaged Neighbor Principles, is to be involved in your homeowners association or neighborhood association. Those are two key ways to really do service with your neighbors, to have conversation with your neighbors, to do social events with your neighbors, and to build that camaraderie and the strength that forms in a neighborhood through service. And so being involved in your homeowners or neighborhood association is an essential part of being an engaged neighbor.
So then action-wise, it doesn't seem like it takes a whole lot, but it does take, I guess, a mindset of intentionality to be a good neighbor, which, you know, somebody sitting on the couch right now could be thinking, hey, I'm going to go across the street and check on my neighbor who I haven't seen in a while. Really a simple act, but requires a lot of intention about it. Is that right?
Less than 15% of Americans know the names of their immediate neighbors. Simple regular acts or actions help grow those relationships and grow those connections. I call it a plus one approach. So, you know, yesterday I bumped into a couple of neighbors out walking my dog, 6:30 a.m., and we had positive interaction. So that was my plus one for the day. It's not big actions that have to take, but some consistency over time, the positive connections that benefit your own health and the health of your neighborhood and community.
Yes, that consistency over time, that intentionality, really leads to positive results. I've had personal trainers over the years espouse those principles as far as training goes. Coach Kinsley and currently Coach Nick, shout out, have preached the consistency over time and time under tension, which in this case is not lifting a weight, but it's lifting a hand to wave, to say hi, lend a hand to help someone. It doesn't take much, but it just takes that intentionality, that consistency, as you mentioned.
When my wife and I first set out to do a better job as neighbors for us, really learning names was the first step we had to take. And then we kind of coined this term. We started calling it the ministry of being available. We didn't realize how much time we were really spending inside our house and away from people. People just didn't see us. And so as we were learning names, we tried to do more front yard living and actions that demonstrate that we were available.
So with simple everyday gestures, you can become an engaged neighbor. So David, if our dear listener and others want to get in on an engaged neighbor nomination for somebody they know, where out in the socials and out on the web can people find you and the Engaged Neighbor program?
Yeah, well, the website for Missouri Good Neighbor Week is MissouriGoodNeighborWeek.com. And that's where you can go to report acts of neighboring or to make nominations. In 2024, we're going to begin opening up those nominations in the springtime. It won't be restricted just to that one week. EngageNeighbor.com will take you to my extension pages, including an option to sign up for our Engage Neighbor newsletter, and also a link that will give you the full Engage Neighbor pledge that you can sign. We have a goal of having 10,000 people take that pledge by 2030, and you can read over those Engage Neighbor principles as well.
So, Greg, one more thing about your holiday lights display. One of the tenets of being an engaged neighbor is continually learning about neighboring and asset-based community development. I know recently you have switched over from our old incandescent lights we grew up with to the more modern LED lights. Have you been able to tell a difference?
Well, I mean, we could never do what we're doing today back in the old days. I mean, people think our power bill must be hundreds or thousands of dollars extra. We power the entire almost 100,000 lights for about $20 for the entire holiday season because they're very, very energy efficient. Back in the older days, 5 to 10 trees on the same circuit would cause problems, you know, so they're brighter and things like that. But yeah, it's quite energy efficient.
So, Greg, besides the holiday miracle of LED efficiency, what else have you learned now that you wish you would have known or had back then when you first started down this engaged neighbor journey that you've been on?
You know, when I first started being a trustee, I don't know that I had the perspective and empathy that I maybe have gained over the years, you know, just with experience. I mean, we're a development with 278 homes, and it's, you know, good sized development. We've had, you know, large projects over the years, and, you know, invariably we'll get people to say, hey, you know, my neighbor's, you know, property, you know, they're not trimming their bushes, or they're not doing this, or they need to do that. And, you know, I think, you know, our reaction typically is, you know, well, we're going to turn them into the city and they need to do this and they need to do that. And we absolutely have to keep up our properties and things like that. I'm not suggesting otherwise. What I've learned over the years is more often than not, there's a story behind that. When those neighbors call now and say, hey, you know, as trustee, I'm having a challenge with my neighbor. And I'll say, well, you know, have you talked to them? And, you know, maybe they're battling cancer or they have an ill parent or something like that. And, you know, maybe we don't always have to take a punitive approach to things, or maybe we actually can listen and, you know, see if there's a backstory there. So, you know, we've had situations where, you know, maybe a property's had challenges in the subdivision, and, you know, we ended up finding out that they've got, you know, that situation, like an illness or something like that. And we've been able to connect them to either volunteers to help them or services in the city. We have a very, very tight working relationship with the city of Manchester, which is the city we're in. My experience that I've gained as trustee for over 20 years, 95% of the people out there are trying to do the right thing. Maybe they just came up with a challenging situation, and let's try to work with them, you know, on that. So have that empathy and perspective, and maybe see if there's a backstory out there before you, you know, assume someone's just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if you do that, some of your neighbors start to see that as well.
That was St. Louis resident Greg Smith, who along with his wife Suzanne Smith were nominated and awarded the Engaged Neighbor Award for 2023. Thanks for listening. Remember to hit that like or follow button on your favorite streaming podcast app. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. This episode was edited by Avshan Mushani with research help from John Klo. Senior editors for the podcast are Luke Dieterle and Sarah Riley. The senior program director for MU Extension's Business and Communities is Dr. Rob Russell. This is Show Me Mo Success.